everybody, and welcome to This Week in Figure Skating for the week of September 24th through 30th, 2012, the week of the Nebelhorn Trophy, which went on despite a couple of difficulties, including two withdrawals from the Paris competition after the short program, including Vera Bazarova and Yuri Larionov, who had been fourth after she fell on their side-by-side triple toes, and spoke of an injury to her right hip joint, which she may even need surgery for. Otherwise, Paris was actually the most predictable of the three events, with Tatiana Volzhozhar and Maxim Trenkov going unchallenged by the remaining six pairs, not that they left anything to chance, going for side-by-side triple Zalkows in the short. She stepped out of those, and they were lucky they were ratified, but that was their only real mistake throughout the competition. And when they're free, now done with new costumes with crosses on them and a less dramatic ending, included a triple sow double toe combo, and got a total of 196.55 and a standing ovation. Silver medalists Katie Denny and John Coughlin kept it likewise to a hand down on their throw triplets in the short and didn't have the same flawlessness in their free, but still delivered a clean one with a throw triple flip and a sequence of double axles to total 178.90. Below the two of them, things were a little messier. French team Vanessa James and Morgan Cypress took the bronze at 151.52 on the strength of a short with clean jumps, including a throw triple flip, though trouble with their spins. Their fourth place free had them go for the same throw, land neither throw clean, and side-by-side Salchows with similar results, plus their pair spin was invalidated. In the segment, they were firmly beaten by Gretchen Donlin and Andrew Spirov, the only team besides the top two to break 100 in the segment score, but Donlin and Spirov themselves had trouble with their throw Salchow in both their solo jumping passes, and that was when they'd been six after a short program with partially under a rotated toes, an invalidated death spiral, and not much in the other elements to make up for it, so they were only able to get 145.35 in fourth. Unfortunately, Volzhozhar and Trenkov weren't able to do the gala when she caught a cold. Men was a very messy event. It proved an easy victory for Nobunari Oda, since in his short, he only fell on his quad, and he rotated it first, and in the free, only stepped out on it, though he popped a flip and a loop at the end of his three jump, and had spin issues in both programs, but he landed a triple loop with his arms up. Still, he wasn't happy, if only because he'd been aiming at 80 in the short, and 160 in the long and fell just short of both, if by less than half a point in the short, totaling 233.33. Oda was partly helped in the ease of this victory by Thomas Ferner, who had a disaster of a short when he blew both axle in combo, and though he was fifth in the long, he made multiple mistakes there too, partially under rotating a quad and popping a loop and being shaky on both axles to lose a combo. He ultimately finished 6th, 200ths short of 200. Exceeding expectations, on the other hand, was silver medalist Konstantin Menshov, who landed the only two clean quads in the entire competition, the first one in combination in the short. When he doubled his lutz, he fell just short of 70 points and had no less than five guys within 2 points of him, including Keegan Messing, where he fell on his triple lutz triple toe, dead as 10 in fourth, where he fell on a partially under-rotated quad toe and turned out of his triple axle, and Michael Brezina in fifth, who only managed that because he rotated a quad salchow before falling on it. He had no clean jumping passes and a popped axle. A little back of the group with 65 points was Stephen Carrière, who had fallen on his axle and had trouble with his loop. But in the long, Menshov again outskated the lot of them, combining a good second quad with an almost clean program. He charged through most of it with a little too much and had slow moments in his steps and spins and a single axle near the end, on his way to 212.94 total. Brezina and Ten, on the other hand, both fell way short. Brezina fell three times in the long, including on his quad sal attempt again, lost a combo in another fall, and doubled a lutz, barely holding on to fifth with 201.71. And Ten only fell once, but had three downgrades, including a full one in the quad, singled an axle, and doubled a flip, tumbling to seventh with 198.39. Bronze thus became a battle of the Americans when Carrière came back with a third place free, but he fell on his axle again, messing, like James and Cypress, held on with a fourth place program, a close one where he rotated if stumbled on his quad, and had a couple of minor errors, but also a triple axle triple toe in the back half of the program. Though he fell randomly after a split jump, he took bronze to 10.78 to Carrière's 209.11. For Nelly Shiganshina and Alex Gaji, things went much as they had last year, only worse. Once again, they won the short dance, this time by a seemingly comfortable 3-point margin over the upstart Americans, this year played by Madison Chalk and Evan Bates. When the latter's weak polka hit their level spread, and they had only 200ths above third place Yulia Slobina and Alexei Sitnikov, though the latter didn't have the best polka either. But in the free, the Germans made no real mistakes, but were off and slow on too many elements and hit two with a time violation and went way behind Chalk and Bates, who now dressed up in white, more or less nailed everything, broke 90, and won with a total score of 147.97. And then the Germans even slipped behind Zlobin and Sitnikov, who bested them for silver, 143.59 to 142 even. In fact, they were fifth in the three. Needing their short lands lead to hold on to the bronze out of Xenia Munko and Kirill Kapalian, who had a couple of rough spots in the competition and an extended lift in their own free to come in fourth, just short of 140 overall. And Alexandra Paul and Mitchell Islam, who in fifth didn't skate their best either, though at least they beat last year's bronze medalists Karis Ralph and Asher Hill, who had trouble in their short especially and finished a disappointing seventh. But the most painful loss may have been Adelina Sotnikova's. She came here looking pretty confident, started her skating with it too, and after the short program, it was looking like she couldn't lose the ladies when she won that, even though it featured her falling on a triple toe, helped out maybe by Victoria Helgeson blowing her combo pretty badly to come in seventh, and Caroline Zhang blowing hers even worse, partially under-rotating a triple flip to be down in 10th. Helgeson's flip was fully downgraded in the free, and she had another partial downgrade in a single in her opening combo, but she was clean otherwise to finish 6th with 145.16. Caroline Zhang wasn't even that lucky, blowing her salchow completely, having 3 more partial downgrades, and falling 3 times to finish a painful 12th. But it turned out, Sotnikova's real competition was Caitlin Osmond, making her senior international debut. In the short, she herself stepped out of a triple toe, and was second. But then in the free, though she fell on a partially under-tid triple toe, outside that, it was very sharp and snappy, crisp performance, and she even called it her best ever. And when Sotnikova fell on a lutz and popped a flip, they made her slip behind Osmond to give the Canadian girl a big win. 170.19 to 168.23. Below them, Elena Glebova initially took third after the short, though she too stepped out of her triple toe, but in the free she doubled loop and flipped and turned out of a lutz, and that was when Haruka Imai came charging. Imai had been all the way down in ninth after a short with no major mistakes, but not very difficult content combined with mediocre execution, and she had 3 partial downgrades in the free, but by not popping anything, she managed to get the highest tariff there after Osmond, and by staying on her feet, she broke 100 in her score, which Glebova did not, and squeaked past the Estonian for the bronze, 153.64 to 152.64. For another Canadian woman, however, all that is now over. Cynthia Phaneuf announced her retirement Wednesday in a press conference in Montreal, though she did not describe it as exactly caused by her injury, saying rather that it healed, but then she lacked motivation when she returned to the ice, saying she's done everything she wants to do in competitive skating and wants to move on. She has a couple of shows lined up, recently started teaching young skaters and says she's enjoyed coaching and definitely intends to remain involved with the sport. And for Amélie Lacoste, too, there is now a second Grand Prix assignment, as she has been given Yuritha Slett's spot in China. Meanwhile, Danielle Montebano and Evgeny Krasnopolsky had a miserable competition in Oberstdorf and missed the qualifying score by 20 points, so what happens there remains to be seen. The Junior Grand Prix continued with a Sencilla Bled Cup in a foggy rink in Slovenia, and it was many ways a redux of last week. Once again, pre-event favorite Courtney Hicks here faltered, popping her loop in a 6th place short, and unlike Miyahara, she wasn't able to come back sufficiently in the long to medal. She was 3rd there, landing a triple flip, triple toe, but singling an axel, doubling 2 more jumps, and doing the other jumps clean, but not well enough to make up for it. And her overall total, 141.38, was very close to the podium, but still only 4th. This was not, however, thanks to Anna Shershak, who came here as the Russian veteran after last year, fell on her triple toe, and doubled her flip in the short, and then her loop in the free to leave herself no jumps there harder than the triple salchow to finish down in 7th, but rather to the newer Russian girl on the circuit, Evgenia Gerasimova, who had 2 turnouts and a hand down in the short herself to finish 5th in that segment, then won the free skate on the strength of all her program, except the last part, though she stumbled out of one combo early, before in the back half turning shaky in the second combo and losing the third to a hand down, so ended up with 142.93 and bronze when Japanese Junior Grand Prix newcomer Hinano Isobe, who was initially 3rd after the short, was hit in the free with 4 partial downgrades and an invalidated spin to drop to 6th. Above the lot of them, it was the second American, Junior Grand Prix debutante Barbie Long, who pulled off the only clean triple-triple of the short, but she combined a loose spin with a partially under-rotated flip to come in a close second to Haijin Kim, who partially under-rotated a shaky triple-toe, but at the highest presentation scores of anyone. In the free, their scores were close too, both having 2 partial downgrades, with Kim having more shakiness in her jumps, and Long's being not dissimilar, with 2 singles in her closing 3-jump combo. But one of Kim's downgrades was again on her triple toe, while Long rotated her triplets triple toe, if not prettily, so Long was second in the segment, with Kim actually 4th, behind Hicks as well. But when the numbers all crunched together, Kim preserved 11 hundredths of her short program lead to hold on to gold and leave Long with silver. 147.30 to 147.19. Unlike Jason Brown last week, Joshua Ferris was supposed to have competition in the men, but Hanyan faltered a little in a second place short by completely botching his axel, and then even more so in the free, falling on a way under-rotated quad and on a partially under-rotated salchow, singling 2 intended doubles and an intended triple, and having a few more problems even besides that, dropping down to 5th in the segment and overall with 180.69, and younger countryman Boyang Jing faltered majorly in the short, making a complete mess of his axel and not performing the other jumps well enough to avoid a huge fifth place hole, and then a little bit in the free with two partial downgrades, one in a quad toe, and the 2 foot in step out, though he still managed to take second both in the free and overall with 186.45. Even would-be medal spoiler Keiji Tanaka failed to take advantage, falling on a triple axel in the short, and while he held on to third there, in the free he doubled his flip, had some rough landings and a hand down, and only managed to do one combo, plus had trouble with the spin, so barely stayed above Jan with 180.77, and lost the bronze to Russian newcomer Alexander Samarin, who had no triple axel and shaky jumps in the short, but more were smooth than not in the free, especially in the first half, and each was rotated and landed cleanly to score him 182.03. Shoma Uno had initially been fourth after the short, but was unable to capitalize on his countryman's errors. A fall and partial downgrade near the end of his free dropped him to 6th. So when, with ever-increasing performance ability, Ferris skated clean in the short, it was already over. Even when he tumbled through the ice on his triple axel in the free, partially under-rotated his loop, decided at the last minute not to try the quad, and was maybe a little slow and cautious altogether until he finished behind the music, 211.21 points was still a big win. The ice dance, too, looked much like the setup from last week, this time with Alexandra Aldridge and Daniel Eaton going pretty much unchallenged for the gold, especially when they nabbed the highest tariff in both segments. Even getting their free dance, two of the only three level threes gotten on a step sequence in the entire competition, though she lost it on the twizzles there. Perhaps silver medalists Anna Yanovskaya and Sergei Mozgov could have been expected to make it a competition, but they had low tariffs in both segments. If the other level three step sequence in their free dance, and less than good execution in the blues, and the free dance, there was also a stumble from him in their other step sequence and the risky entrance to their curve lift. Nonetheless, they were second in both segments, while below them, once again, a pair of Canadians, Adrian Poulin and Marc-André Servan this week, took on two other teams for the Medal of the Bronze. This time, two teams within a point of them after the short were Uzbekistani team Anna Nagornyuk and Viktor Kovalenko, and Ukrainians Daria Kortetiskaya and Maxim Spodirev. But Poulin and Servan had the advantage from the start, taking third in the short in their performance ability and scores, even with low levels and a slight transitional stumble from her. The Ukrainians were also far from perfect. And in the free, even if both their step sequences were level 2 and she had another slight stumble in one of them, they were level 4 everything else, and made up pretty minuscule glitches there with their ability to sell it. And then, in fact, Nagorniak and Kovalenko were 5th in the free, where the intensity of their performance was disrupted by the roughness of exiting their lifts and going off in their twizzles, and Kortetskaya and Spodirev were a painful 8th with a free that began with their twizzles continually out of sync and their first lift failing to get up, after which they didn't really do much else well, though those two teams held on to 4th and 5th respectively overall. The dance final lineup is proceeding apace. Aldridge and Eaton are in with 2 wins, of course, and with 2 teams taking 4 gold so far and the status of the other 3 silver medalists, it's also impossible to knock Anna Yanovskaya and Sergei Mozgov with their 2 silvers out of the top 6. The men too see gold and silver medalists Ferris and Jin both locking themselves in, though Jan may be a shock elimination if he can't manage to beat Nathan Chen next week, and Tanaka's probably out completely, which actually makes things look very good for Ryuji Hino, though technically he's not locked yet. But the ladies' standings are left wide open, since Kim only got 5th in her first event, not the best position even if she's 3rd in the standings right now, Hicks has likely just taken herself out, and Gerasimova really needed more than bronze to be a contender. The last 2 events may well feature 4 of the eventual finalists. Closer to happening is the much-anticipated Japan Open and Medal Winners Open, and Mao Asada revealed her free skate music on Japanese TV as Swan Lake. They showed a clip of her practicing the beginning of a program. She's not the only one. Kurt Browning wrote this week about his preparation for the Medal Winners Open, his first competitive event in years, and his first time performing under a new judging system, albeit one considerably altered from the normal code of points, and to increase the anticipation, he's announced he'll be performing a new version of a Singing in the Rain number, which he only ever did for the 1995 TV special and has never done live, but he'll have a second new version for Stars on Ice this year. He's been working with a coach in Toronto and even tried the triple axel again, though he's given up on that and has just gotten his easier jumps back. Also interviewed this week was Nikita Katsalapov, who noted that between one thing and another, his and Elena Ilyinich's preparation this season is being kept firmly under wraps since they skipped the test skate and won't compete until the Ross Telecom Cup, and then says he's missed skating for the public and that he's been working on his own, trying to skate more like a senior man and be able to lead the team. He seems to view Scott Moyer as the perfect male partner that way. In fact, while he hasn't watched the other Russian ice dancers and doesn't want to, he's interested in seeing the skates of the top 4 from Worlds last year. He also talks about how much he and Ilyinich like skating to music recorded just for them, and are very comfortable with the resulting program. He repeats Nikolai Morozov's words that it's the Grand Prix finale and World's podium or bust, and also that Takahashi has been an inspiration to the group. He says he and Ilyinich only started doing full run-throughs because of his example. The entire group is about to fly back to the States so that Florent Imodio and Alina Leonova can adjust the time zone before Skate America. Armin Mabanusadeh, meanwhile, may have already shown much of his hand, but he spoke a little frankly this week about both last and this season, saying he considered quitting after the Grand Prix last year and didn't deny that being snubbed for poor continence last year cost him dearly, saying, "At the end of the day, I really had to dig deep and answer for myself why I wanted to continue skating. I feel like I found that answer and has made me a stronger person emotionally and mentally. I still don't agree with the decision that was made, but I come to peace with it, and the only thing I can do is move forward and do the best that I can at every event that I have." He also talked about skating through injury at Salt Lake City, and how he decided to compete even though he was told he could probably be given a later event if he withdrew, and was glad he did. He's still hoping for another event, and is aiming to make the top two at National, though he's aware how ridiculously hard that's going to be. Saturday also marked the start of the regional season for the U.S., with the Northwest Pacific Regionals starting in Eugene, Oregon. This is a very small competition. Above the intermediate level, there aren't even any men's competitions. So far, both the senior and junior ladies have a runaway leader who didn't do either of their non-axle jumping passes well and botched their combos. The senior leader, Amanda Hoffman, fell down too, though the junior leader, Selena Zhao, did not. They even have very similar scores, 41.51 for Hoffman and 41.36 for Zhao. Both ladies' events conclude tomorrow. More American skaters are in Massachusetts this weekend, performing in Harvard University's annual Evening on Ice show Saturday night and Sunday afternoon. Highlights include Jeremy Abbott debuting both his new programs. He did an abbreviated version of his free last night and is short this afternoon, even going for a quad in the ladder with a rip in his pants. Jason Brown stealing the first half, skating to MZ Hammer. And the school's skating students and alumni, which now include not only Emily Hughes, who skated to a cover of Paint It Black, but Christina Gao, who did her short program, though unfortunately, Ludmilla and Oleg Protopov, who were supposed to perform, weren't able to. Another show, done over in Lugano, Switzerland, Saturday, was Musical on Ice, and featured both solo numbers, including Alexei Yagudin doing Sway, and Tatiana Tutman-Mina and Maxi Marin interpreting Last Tango in Paris, and Valentina Marquet doing first her old Requiem for a Dream short, then a Marilyn Monroe to Nicole Kidman impression, and ensemble musical-themed numbers, which meant Stephanie Aburtino and Drita Tarik played Sandy and Danny from Greece with an ensemble of skaters, and of course, the mandatory Mary Poppins short dance, done courtesy Lorenza Alessandrina and Simone Vartori, with an ensemble of chimney sweeps and selections for both the English and Italian soundtracks of the movie. And finally, a congratulations is in order for Todd Eldridge on his second marriage. He and Sabrina Korbacki were married Friday in South Dakota. He tweeted, along with the announcement he will be playing in an American Airlines golf event in October, though he briefly made it sound like he would be playing in it literally right after the wedding. And that is This Week in Figure Skating. Hold on to your hats, everybody, because we got a busy week coming up.